Hi, welcome to our lunchtime date together with me, John Ballum. I am an organizational development consultant, I'm an educator, and I'm a coach with a passion for lifelong learning. With me today is my partner in crime, Gifty.
Hi everyone, I'm Gifty Parker, HR professional with a background in learning and development, performance management, as well as talent management.
So for the next 20 minutes, we invite you to sit back, find a glass of something nice, and enjoy an unusual conversation with us.
All right, John.
Yeah, nice to be with you again.
Amazing to be with you. Always nice, you know.
With a very dear colleague, a nice cup of coffee, and as always, engaging conversation.
Yeah, thanks for the introduction to these beautiful offices.
I'm glad. I'm glad. So today we have an exciting topic. Mm-hmm. I'm actually quite excited because we actually have a topic in three different episodes.
Right.
Would you like to tell our audience what amazing topic John came up with?
It's a very big passion of mine. This is what we call business or organizational ethics. And I'm going to just outline it because it's a bit of a misnomer. One person once said to me, isn't business ethics a contradiction in terms? Because there are no ethics in business. I said, no. They are. So
just very difficult to find sometimes.
Yeah, I agree with you. Not just about the man. So organizational business ethics, we could say, has three different components which we're going to discuss. We're going to discuss under a very classical philosophical title of the good, the true, the beautiful, right? And what that means is the good is, when we talk about the good, we're talking about the overall purpose or purposes of business. And we're talking about how we structure, manage, govern organizations. The products and the marketing. So the good, that's essentially what we mean by the good. You could say, another word would be said, quality of the business.
Yeah.
Good could be the quality.
The leader. When we say quality, we're talking about leaders.
Exactly. Yeah, structure, the purpose, you know, employees, all that stuff. Then when we talk about the true, we are looking at how do we evaluate business, right? What thought systems do we use to say, we've got a decision to make. Now, are we going to say, for example, that we're going to take this decision because this is the greatest good for the greatest number of employees, but someone won't like it or get hurt by this decision? Or are we going to say, no, nobody must be hurt by this decision, okay? Because everybody, every single person counts, not just the majority of people that work with us, okay? So, for example, we could say, what shouldn't we don't make it amenable for disabled people because the majority of people aren't disabled. Now, most people would say, no. Okay, everybody counts. So, what decision-making process do we use to judge whether we're on track to?
And those decisions as well, we can also inform our audience that not just the decision within the organization, but also decisions that the organization made that does impact or influence destiny stakeholders as well.
The whole drug company spaces all the time. You know, they make a drug, 0.00% of people react badly to this. Do they care to manufacture it? And so forth. And then finally, we look at the beautiful. The beautiful is traditionally the role of aesthetics. And that means the appeal of our business. How do we make our business so that it is humanly appealing? So people, and when I say people, our customers, our suppliers want to engage with the business. Obviously, that appeal is going to be based on this. So honestly, not just service appeal, right? It must be. So it's a kind of instinct or touch point we have for the good and the true. Is if something is appealing, well-ordered, we tend to think, maybe it's authentic. Yeah. It doesn't always have to be the case, right? Okay. So that is what we love from that. So today I'm going to look at the good.
Yes.
And when we look at the good, you had a question earlier on about when I mentioned the good. Do you want to ask that question? I think it's really important.
So I have so many questions, John. Talking about the good, the
good.
So qualities of the goods. Yeah, I think my question was, you said in reality when we talk about the goods, we put it in a form, in a plural sense. Uh-huh. And I want you to understand, why should that be in a plural sense?
Right, okay. So before I go there, it's just talk about how we, when we talk about what we're talking about. And because I like to be conscious, as you do. And I think consciousness makes us actually more ethical, more moral sometimes, if we're aware of what we say. So if we talk about ethics, everyone uses the term ethics. So ethics actually are thought systems we use to evaluate our behavior and our motives, right?
Yeah.
Now, next to ethics comes morality. Now, morality is different to ethics. Morality is what we have been unconsciously socialized into. So you work in an organization and they say, and you just kind of learn, and not because anybody tells you necessarily, but these are the things that are good to do in this organization. Underneath morality, the least lowest level of morality is what we call laws or company policy. These are standards based on the principle of do no harm. So they're the kind of baseline to morality. Laws and policy, if they're broken, usually in punishment or sanction, either by the organization or government, right? Mm-hmm. If you can still keep the law, but be an immoral person because you're doing things that are socially unacceptable to other people. You might gossip a lot, or you might, you know, some people might have promiscuous relations around the company. Okay. There you are not taken to court or fired necessarily, but what happens is people either confront you or they don't want to talk to you. Okay. So there's this distinction which is really important to keep in mind, the ethics of how we judge the standards. Morality are the standards, and then the law is the bottom level of the standards, or the company policy. Okay. Now, to answer your question about the goods, or the goods that there are many things which are good. We might say in an organization, serving the customer, having a clean and tidy environment, paying our employees well. So there are many good things we should be doing. So it's never just one good thing. Okay. And these goods compete with each other, but in a sense. So I take this really practical example. I got home tonight and I had a call from a client, and it's possibly a very big contract. But my kids want me to go and watch them play soccer. Then the two goods, okay? Now, I will decide between these two goods, which is the better good, okay? Because they compete. And so it's not as simple as just choosing to do good or bad. We're choosing often to do better and best in a particular context. All right.
Does that make sense? Yeah, it does. Okay. It does. Thank you so much for explaining that, John. So in the topic on the good,
right.
We will be looking at what are some things organizations are doing, right. Some activities within the organization, interactions with their employees, and of course, other stakeholders.
Yeah.
Now, there is one question here which I'm going to start by showing you.
No, I was totally right.
You talked about some of it already, right? We said we're going in with the goods, and we said the goods is about the purpose of the organization.
Right.
And here, what would you define as the overall purpose of an organization, of a business?
Right.
Or the organization life?
Right. So I'm going to lay out three. So there are many views. I'm going to lay out three views. And then I'll tell you which one. And obviously, the last one's been added a lot, but it's the most complex. So, the first view, if you look at just business, is this good old Freeman who said, you know, the purpose of business is to make profit. That's it. Okay. All other things, this is Freeman. Okay. All other stuff belongs to other organizations. And I have a big issue with that. Okay.
Like the council is there.
Yeah.
We all capital
is making profit and planet and burn. No, not so. The next. Well, from that kind of the middle of the road, says the purpose of business is, yes, to make money, but it's to also consider all the internal stakeholders of the business. In other words, the employees work for you. So you look after and you treat well the employees. You have good benefits, you manage them well, you do all the things to support your employees either to produce either your profit or your service or your product isn't necessary for profit. Now, I like most of all a good place of view, which is a permanent stakeholder view, which is very complex and difficult, which means that everything matters. The business is part of society, and therefore the purpose of business is to be beneficial for those organizations to the society in which it's located in. So that means your customers, your suppliers, your employees, and the civic society around your business. So practical example, I'm a big business or a big organization. I'm going to build a building in the city, right? Or is that building going to enhance the city in terms of what it just about architecture? Does it look good? Is it friendly? So make people feel good. Is it ergonomic? Is that building good? Okay. For that actual city block. Or, when I put it out, am I going to destroy all the other, for example, low-cost housing matrix around me? There's all the whole bunch of things.
So basically, we can be seeing an organization triple bottom line.
Correct.
So the environment and society.
So,
of course, now I think there's a shift from profit, because as you know, we used to want profit and economic prosperity.
Right? Prosperity. Sure.
So we can say the same thing in that regards in terms of thinking about the people within the organization and thinking about what your actions are.
And the people like outside the organization. And the organization is fundamentally part of society, like the family is, it's any organization, and you cannot run away. And when I say talk to stakeholders, you will consult stakeholders, right? Mm-hmm. So you will consult the city, and you'll sort of push your way through this.
Correct.
But of course, democracy takes a long, this is very democratic, it takes a long time. Mm-hmm. But I love it when Churchill said, he said, democracy is the worst form of government, except for the few others in the tribes. Right? So I think that it takes short, give you quick results, but it should be a long journey of problems. So yeah, that's a total stakeholder view, and I support that. So
yeah, thank you for that. Now I think my question was still the overall purpose of the decision. So just to wrap it, defined by the stakeholder.
Okay, the purpose, the overall purpose of business is to encourage human flourishing in the environment the business is put into. Okay, so and I would say human, animal, and the environment for flourishing. So it's to do the society, the environment, good, the most good you can, where it is. And to do that means you have to consult with all those stakeholders.
Yeah, I
agree. I know that's a very noble aim, but why not cheat for the show?
It's actually something very attainable. And there are businesses out there today who are driven by the impact of their action, the impact of the people within the organization, and of course the environment as well. So they are very conscious.
Yes.
I worked for a jewelry company when I just came to Canada. I was doing my graduate studies, and Tiffany & Co. And it was a whole lot. I went through the hiring process to help us, the employee, understand the impact of their mining for diamonds to the environment and their actions to at least try to rectify some of those
gaps.
Right. So it goes a little way from ensuring that this is important, because they wanted the candidates to understand what was their value. Well, this was their line of business. They wanted them to know, okay, this is still what we want, And of course, I didn't go to do research to see what really was the impact, but I felt some value congruence when I could hear what their actions are to ensure that they were, taking care of the environment, because mining of diamonds also does cause some impact, right? So that goes a long way as well in terms of your actions, while you are trying to ensure that you're caring about those out of your environment, your community. You also want to communicate it.
Mm-hmm.
You want to ensure that people understand it as well, just to ensure they see where you're going and probably follow up for this one.
I agree. It's important we realize in this whole area that it's all imperfect still, right? So, companies are making mistakes, but I'm trying to get it better. I consulted in Africa to a mining company as well, and they did something which was really remarkable, and I studied this in depth. What they did was they were in a very poor area in Africa, the mine, and the way there was no schooling. And they desperately needed people to work in their mines or to train potential employees for their mines. So what they did was establish a series of schools around the mine, which they funded, okay? Private schools, not the state, didn't put a cent into these, okay? To which the lowest population would go and receive a really high-class education. And then, of course, they provided a pool of employees, potential employees, for the later, not everybody, but certainly many. So I saw that as really productive. And you know, it's very productive. Like many people think companies, I think, get freaked out because they think, oh, they're going to spend all this money, and there's no return. No, you can do it. You know, if you do the principle of life, you can be good to others, and you can trust you. And it'd be smart enough to set up systems.
I love that. And now you have actually measured something. We'll talk about that return on investment. I also find that a lot of companies hesitate to invest or do the good
when
the return is not in the monetary form.
Right.
You know, why am I doing this? You know, it's a lot of money. If that money is not showing, that return is not showing the balance sheets.
Yeah.
They don't see it.
Yeah.
And it goes with so many actions. I mean, we were talking recently about mental health at the workplace and what organizations, programs, organizations could have initiatives.
Right.
And for them, they're not seeing what that program is. Because an employee being happy, it's not a return on investment for them.
Right.
You always need that monetary value, that balance sheet increase.
Oh, right.
I did this mental health situation. They don't see number of people who did not go sick. They don't see the number of employees who are actually happy.
Right.
They don't see that as a return on investment. Not all organizations do. So that's a very good point about that. Having schools around the area and having people who can work there in the future. And even if they don't work there, that opportunity you're giving to the community, that's a return.
Right. But you see, there's a little bit of an hypocrisy here. If and I'm going to make some of this uncomfortable when I say this. Because when we sell a business, and we talk about going value of the business, we sell it based on this brand reputation. Okay, which we quantify. Oh, we're very quick to quantify that in the spreadsheet. Okay, this brand is this firm recognition, so you're buying this reputation. Now, you know, our balance sheet must also then learn to quantify other things if you want your financial.
Yeah.
You know, and if you quantify things like this, there are huge. I mean, in terms of the HR, still this company saved itself by having all these, you know, well-educated people and stuff. Now, that can be quantified. You can say, I'm going to recruit people or I train people. You know, these things can be quantified.
They can.
And if we do that, honestly, I think we're in a much better place in business to actually, you know, do it.
Yeah, I agree. I agree 100%. So being able to see that it doesn't have to be that instant monetary value. So you can try to see, you know what? Because the cost of people, actually posting a job, getting the experts to come in comparison to you actually having a ready pool of candidates.
Right.
Who appreciate what you've done and probably will be paying back.
Right.
It goes a long way.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So let's ask you something else. Okay. So when we really talk about the good, you know, you've worked in organizations where you've either and you've seen employees treat well or badly, or you've seen good products or bad products and services. Okay. So what practical examples from your works and career do you have of saying, wow, yeah, that was really good, and I'm proud that, you know, if I didn't work for a company and I did, I'd be very proud to stand behind that, or you know, if I've actually worked for it. Because those examples make it very real for people. What did you almost do you have of you having seen that?
Well, I have quite a lot of examples.
Yeah.
I'm sure I'm good on that.
Okay.
I think I would generalize the good because there's so many. The good is where the organizations see a reason, a purpose in their people.
Yes.
So, for example, there was this client that approached me and mentioned an employee who was not feeling well and claiming that they had a mental health issue. While we wanted to offboard the individual, I wanted to kind of understand, because a lot of companies come and say, we don't want this person, what do we do? But before I tell you what you do, I want to know what you've done. you know, to accommodate the person. What's the situation? So as we were going into the situation, I could see records of this person coming sick and saying they went for physio, they went for therapy. So we came up with a plan of what to do. So we gave the employee options, which was good.
Right.
Whether the employee was later offloaded, but they were options for the employee. But once we were done with that particular case, I wanted the business owner to understand that if one employee was hearing this, chances are you have three other students. Why don't you tell me what you've done to create an awareness?
Right.
And he hasn't done anything else. And he was very honest.
Right.
And he was like, you know what? You're actually right. Because the type of line of work, and this was an organization in construction.
Right.
The line of work does create for people to, you know, get that pressure, either from the work, pressure from the environment itself that they want, or from their homes. And I told him, I think we should run a workshop. And he instantly saw the benefit.
Right.
He asked questions, he wanted to know what the workshop was all about, I was quoting. When we ran the workshop, it was alarming. One of the icebreaker activities was, how many of them have had a workshop or training on mental health? It was, I think, two people raised their hands out of a pool of 40-something candidate participants.
Right.
How many of them knew what mental health was?
Right.
Or mental illness?
Right.
One person raised their hand.
Wow.
And he was shocked.
Wow.
But the point was, he was ready. He cared about the people. It wasn't just about the cost of the workshop, it wasn't just about the time it would take for them to go off work. He really cared, and he was interested in making it better.
Wow.
Some people would say, oh, it's okay, there is no issue. Well, in this small case. So that was a good one. Somebody who wanted to, you know, that was good. They saw the purpose in their employees' well-being. They saw the purpose in terms of how that would be an investment.
Yes.
It's good. They're happy, and they were excited because given the lineup of went, they were happy, and they won. Just to see, we got standing ovation.
Of course.
Now, on the other hand, there are organizations who, we talk about purpose, we talk about purpose using your definition.
Right.
You know, it's all about that. People inside, the people outside your community.
Right.
And the guidelines where, those don't matter. What matters is the brand. What matters is the service or the product that they have. The people is just a means. So recently I offboarded a client because my reason was we're not aligned in terms of what we're looking for. From not paying the employee what was in contract to not adhering to the employment standards, to not providing the space for people to feel comfortable, relaxed, you know, a lot of complaint. So for me, it was not just that misalignment. I had a reputation as well. I wanted to uphold around people, around their experiences.
Yes.
So that was a case where it just wasn't working.
Yeah.
So I hope that was a good
I think services have got to 5% of their customers in plans.
Yeah.
Or, you know, all four of them, just put it more lucky.
Yeah, so that was a lovely question, Joe.
Will you share that example, that first example, you know, of the good? There's a comment I want to make about that because it's such a powerful example that when you talk about business ethics or organizational ethics, there's a lot of was feeling away of this condemnation.
Mm-hmm.
And this condemnation, although I understand people's motives, they get angry when they see people damage stuff, sometimes it's just ignorance. And we're all unconscious at different levels. And sometimes it's just ignorance. And if people are educated, if they're like this, like you did for this person, and you made them aware, and then they take action, you know, I say, that's fantastic. Because if we make the good so harsh and judgmental, people are going to be alienated from even thinking about it. You know, they think, oh, I'm not going to hear those people. They just make you feel bad.
I think that's very true. We don't want to do that,
right? We want to be doing the good, appealing, and we want to make it, in a sense, easy. These other brands think, which said it's very hard to give you a side when you do the good. You're not always in a side. So, I love that example. I just want to say it's so beautiful because it shows that consciousness. Yeah. And because you paid.
Yeah, and mutual interest as well. Right. And because he was nice and it also did that. This is good all around.
Yeah.
Now, the new question we have in here, it's a jump bit the perfect person to address.
I was excuse.
Because we're shifting to marketing, right? So I thought maybe I'll get your perspective.
Right. Yes.
It says the products and services and how are they that's an organization, business products and their services, right, and how they're marketed. What does it have to do with our conversation around the
culture? A huge amount. Okay, so I'm going to start with quite a personal example, but in one thing we illustrate this very clearly. Okay. So when one of my sons was in his early adolescence, he went off to he went off to a local shopping mall near us to go and purchase some stuff. And he came back with this bottle of deodorant. Okay, one of them he purchased. It was quite fun. But when he came back, he was super excited. And he could tell me everything about this bottle of deodorant. So I was thinking, something's happened here because I can feel the buzz, right? So I said to him, tell me, where did you buy this new thing? And immediately he said, there was this beautiful saleswoman. And she had with this really short skirt on. And she was, she had fried his words to a crisp. Now, part of me, this is just the way life is sometimes, but part of me thought, this is just not cool. Okay, that's because this young man will end up somewhere. And sure, you're saying what about the other, it's demeaning to women, it's demeaning to men, there's a whole bunch of things involved here.
So why is it demeaning?
Demeaning.
Why is it demeaning? Why?
Well, because the woman is using her sexuality to sell the other.
Okay.
And basically coming on too strong to him, and of course he thought she was in love with him, a potential girlfriend, right? Can't you explain him down? And this is somebody doing sales, okay? So it was manipulating through his sexuality, basically. And as a man, he was, he was just in a coach. I can do that. Okay. So how we sell. Okay. I think another example was also based on this kind of what I call sleaze marketing. I consulted to a company that sold body materials to organizations in Africa. And what these organizations would then do was they would then be able to give these building materials to the workforce to build houses, which happens in Africa for low cost housing, right? So people have good quality building materials with which to build their house. And when the company gave it to them as part of their coverage, right? So I'd get away with them, get their marketing plan and everything. And when it came to the salespeople, I began asking questions. And then the question obviously became even uncomfortable. So the CEO shut his office door, Jason, we outside, and said, okay, I've got to straighten this out too. So I said, what do you mean? So he said, you asking questions about their qualifications and all questions, because I would expect the people that sold to these corporations will have building backgrounds, etc. He said, no, manager, we get 24-year-olds, back down and we put them in short black knee skirts and send them to the CEOs. That's how you sell building materials. And you see, so again, these are two extreme examples, okay? But there are many other ways in which when we market, we can sell products to people which we've broken,
okay?
And they're a short shelf life, okay? We can be selling products to people full of toxic stuff.
And it's a very simple job. We can be selling products where we omit important information. I had an employee came to me and was very disappointed in the company. And I wanted to know why. And he says, customers call me all the time and they say, you told us that this product is free. But they lied, because one of the things they use in attracting them is saying a part of the service is free.
Right.
Once they pay for the service, then they start trying to bill it for them.
Right. And the digital stuff too. You know, if people are saying, well, it's absolutely anything, and we stay on people's credit cards because they don't need to clean it up, and there's no subscription. So when we talk about selling and the good, okay, we've got to make sure that it's an honest, clear deal with people. You know, when people talk about the fine print, I get twitchy. I say, no, it should be the big print, okay?
No, because
why? Why have, and then they write this fine print, what's called the legalese, all this English, only a lawyer can understand.
Yes.
And then the average person will look at this, either just plus or misunderstand this document, but it's certainly not a pair of lawyers, but through it can happen. So there's a point to which, you know, fine print, when people say, I think it can get catchy, I think, no, don't try and catch people up, because once you point me out, I'm angry, and you damage your reputation.
I agree, and the same goes with contracts as well, employee contracts. What kind of English is there? Can they understand it? Do you give them enough time to review the contract? And other employers give employee contracts and say, okay, sign it. By God, they should have time to review it. They should have the opportunity to consult with legal aides.
Absolutely.
You know, so it goes, this is really big, but you see this every time. You see this airplane, you know, but. Yeah, that's a very good one. And not just in marketing as well, even in our daily actions.
It's HR stuff. I mean, one of the things I'm so respected about the previous college I worked for, Greystone, was the lengths they went to when they let somebody go to explain to them that they had lots of time, that a week or more if they wanted to review the contract. They encouraged them to seek counsel if they needed to seek counsel. They're absolutely transparent.
That's
right. And I just thought, yeah, that's how it should be. No, they should say, no, this is a start and pressure. Mm-hmm. In fact, you can get into a lot of trouble now if you do that.
I agree. Naturally, they really struggle with that, especially when it comes to employment standards. Now, this conversation also goes with what we're talking about around transparency. So we had conversation around transparency within the organization, transparency in terms of key decisions, transparency in terms of financial services, mm-hmm. financial statements, transparency around, you know, employee work life. So that also becomes very important when we talk about it. Good. How transparent are you? Right. How clear are you?
Right.
And how much are you actually adhering to what you promised, the promises that you
promised? Right. I mean, how would you? You know, when you talk about this matter of finance it's one of the least disclosed elements in any business to employees. Like the financial management of day doesn't need to see a summary of the balance sheet, you know. And I have had good experiences where I have consulted organizations that are deciding to become more transparent financially. With the employees, and I think one particular organization, and it was actually a not very large organization, and they decided to give the employees on a quarterly basis a summary of the balance sheet. And not just that, they had a workshop, voluntary workshop, that you could go to where an accountant, so if you didn't understand accounting that well, would help you understand that, and you could ask questions.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, just the fact that they did that, the trust levels in that organization were sky high to put a lot on the glass slides.
Big organizations tend to feel very comfortable doing that. I worked for an airline, and that was a thing. We get sort of the yearly breakdown. And of course, a lot of us know that our profit share is tied to that. So it helps us to, you know, be able to review it. I do have a lot of small organizations, medium-sized small businesses. And I do see that that is still not the case for most of them. And partly because as the business leaders, they, I guess from my experience, a lot of them do not want to share because that brings into question what your employees I see that hesitation with small, medium-sized businesses that want to grow. A lot of larger organizations, natural transparency, they seem to understand that, especially if I have a benefit like a profit share. I need to know what profits you make so I can be able to calculate how much risk that goes to me.
Yeah, and I'll give you a more even more radical example. I worked for a medium, I worked for a consultative medium-sized organization, and they did something which was quite off the charts for me. They shared everybody's salary. Everybody could see everybody's salary. Now, that is such a big no-no in this, including the bosses. Including the bosses, right? So everybody could see where everybody earned. And then when you signed up for this company, they said, this is the deal, okay? This is what we do here. It's part of our global community. Because I had a really, really interesting discussion with CEO, because it was so radical.
I think I will have an interesting discussion.
Very radical. Okay.
We're going into him all right.
So I said, explain this to me. And he said lots of things. But one of the things I'll highlight for our conversation, he said this. He said, yes, people challenge what everybody earns here, which means everybody has to learn to justify what they earn. But in terms of what they do, not just what they say. Okay. So, and it makes everybody very accountable. Because if I say I earn this salary, I can tell people what I do, but they're going to actually see me doing it and see me meeting my targets. Okay.
But now, I think,
I thought that was. Yeah. I'm not saying it's really about this. But there was just a level of commitment to that organization, people that understood that, a level of accountability, which I have seen. I
see that coming on, but I also believe that there are other ways to be accountable.
I'm not suggesting that is. I'm not saying that is a group, but I'm just saying that there are these experiments which I think are really useful, which challenge our existing paradigm. Because that's how you rail.
I have other clients tell me, Gifty, I don't want my employees to, communicate with one another about their salary. Uh-huh. Of course, they're trying to hide what they're paying people. And I always, my response is, you can be transparent without saying the figure. Everyone, you have an experience. You look at things like your skills, your education, the effort you put into the job, the condition of the workplace, and you have that as a pay skill. Everybody can see the pay skill. I have a high school, I have a bachelor, I have a master's. That's going to influence why I get paid.
Yes.
And I say, your employees can, don't need to disclose to people what the pay is, but they can. Yeah, it's just a skill. And it doesn't say the amount, it just says range.
Right.
So yes. I love when that skill, but an individual's income, it's up to them to communicate if they want to. But give them the skill, and it helps to be transparent, it helps to be accountable, it even motivates people. Yeah. I want to be in that scale, I have to get that education. I want to be in that scale, I need to put more effort. If I want to get an increase, I know what area. It helps people to build their career. So I always encourage scale and reach for salary. It always helps.
I agree. And the issue you raised is really interesting for me because, I always say business leaders have conversations with me about confidentiality. I say to them, as few secrets in your organization as possible. As few things because people will talk.
Okay.
So I've heard employees share salaries with each other. And so people will talk. Okay. So you have to be careful what you say is confidential, but then make it very confident.
I think the idea, and I want you to have me on, we're talking about this, and I still talk to clients. If you have a pay skill and people say how people are paid, perfect. An individual's amount, Gifty makes $10 an hour. Should be Gifty's responsibility to come share that if she wants to. But as an organization, you protect my privacy in terms of why I can have a chat with you and coffee and tell you what I mean. Because I'm comfortable kind of sharing that.
Right.
Try your
information.
All right, John, should we say what we're taking away from today?
Yeah, I was expected. It always does. Okay, so you want to go first?
Okay. I love today's session because we couldn't kind of cover everything on this topic for sure. But when we talk about the good, I loved that you gave an example at the beginning where you were saying the different levels. Organization thinking about themselves, organizations think about themselves, the people, organizations think about themselves, the people inside that they rely on. I love that. And I tie that to, I think you were talking about, what was the word you use, a stakeholders, total stakeholders view, which I tie to what I call a triple bottom line.
Yes.
I don't know, it's a term that is being introduced. I love that because organizations need to be accountable to the public, accountable to their employees, transparent in what they do, their actions. But most importantly, the ability for them to know that there is always room to change, always room to improve, right? Because you get feedback from these people and there's always room to have a change. What about yourself? What did you
mean? For me, it was when, you know, the example you shared of your engagement with that CEO who was prepared to listen and just wants to be more ethical, but just didn't know how. Or, you know, had more, whatever it happens to be. But the fact that you challenged him at the right time, and I think what helped him accept that was it was a more sophisticated view of ethics you presented. Not just do the right thing, but if you do the right thing, here are the consequences, here are the ramifications. And so sometimes, you know, I think we present ethics to people, we need to present a sophisticated package.
Until next time, this is Gifty Parker and John Ballen.
Remember, during your busy week ahead, stay good, stay true, and stay beautiful.
Bye-bye.